Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, whatever time of dimension that you are in. This is your host, Chris. Welcome to Interstellar Frequency.
Okay, so I pretty much recorded this on the road in the truck. So, excuse the audio for it, but here you go.
Tonight's episode is a really unique episode in my personal experience, looking through my eyes. Now, I don't know about many of you, but some of us that have been out there and some of us have seen or had some form of relation or correlation to something that is called the telegraph system. Now, when I was a kid, I was absolutely fascinated by the whole Morse code telegraph system. And what I've seen and noticed was a lot of the telegraph system was along the railway line. When back in, you know, the days of old Knights of Old situation, we had these telegraph lines that ran along the railroad track that would go from station to station. And if you wanted to send a message to someone, you could do it. And I was talking to my wife, and I was losing my mind because I have not seen the telegraph poles along the railroad track in ages. And it's been many years, you know, 14 years of truck driving, and I haven't been out across the country in a long time. And I actually got to go to Portland, Oregon. And as I was driving through, I was sitting there going, oh my God, I just want some of the wire. I cut like a small foot wire and hang that up on my wall. I know I'm a dork. Don't judge me, okay? I hang that up on the wall and put a placard above it and say, this was the old telegraph system that we used to communicate with. Now we're communicating with cell phones and everything, and I'm doing the show on a cell phone. And I was telling my wife about this, okay? The most remarkable thing about this is like, honey, you got to think about something right now. And she's like, what? And I'm like, look, right now, if we rewind history at this present moment in time and dimension that we're in, we rewind it to the era of maybe 1923, 100 years ago. Yeah. I go, I would not be driving a semi. I would be driving oxes with a covered wagon with, you know, leather in the back, going from the town of, you know, Hesperia, California to Portland, Oregon to deliver goods and, you know, deliver the harvest of what I did. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, I would be doing the Oregon Trail. And she's like thinking about it. And she's like, wow, that's kind of interesting. I go, no, it's not. Wait, just follow me on this. And she's like, okay. So now I'm asking you guys to follow me on this. Let me describe this to you. So rewind to 100 years ago in this very day. I would be in a non-semi. I would be driving oxes with my goods and possibly my child with me. And I would pretty much be going to Portland to deliver goods. I would set out in the beginning of April in Hesperia, California, to travel to Portland, Oregon. And it would take me an almost two 2 months' time to get to the destination. I would land in Portland, Oregon, thereabouts. Hopefully that during the Oregon Trail I wouldn't lose a wheel, or I wouldn't lose the death of an ox, or I wouldn't get shot by a bow and arrow, or all the different stuff that, you know, I doubt I would ever get shot by arrow. Come on, listen to me. I would be sitting there having a meeting, and I would be giving goods, and I would trade. You know, I mean, come on, this is me we're talking about. I'm a cult of personality here. I would be like, I would probably be very known. I'm pretty sure of it. Very known among the tribes. Anyhow, I digress. In this situation, I'm telling her that I would be landing up in Portland. And as I was at the present time, today's date, I had went through Portland, Oregon, and I saw the telegraphs, the wiring along the railroad line, and they're all bent and broken and messed up and everything, and it's just like, oh man. And I'm just losing my mind over it and freaking out. I'm like, I want a picture of that. I want it really bad, because this is a part of history, something that I'm putting out here over the cosmos through interstellar dimension of frequencies. I'm putting out here in the world that we'll travel the stars one day through frequencies. And yet, 100 years ago, our communication was done through frequencies. And that in itself is amazing. Just to think about how that it would take me 2 months driving the oxes all the way up to Portland, doing the Oregon Trail, surviving that, and the harsh weather during the springtime, trying to make it there. And then once landing, I would have to turn around, go to the Union Station, contact my wife via telephone. But it wasn't telephone as we know today, it would be telegraph. And there it is. I'd tell the message to the wife, hey, I made it here safely, didn't lose any oxes, da 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 da. I'm going to take care of some business. I'll be home in the fall. Love you. Tell the kids I said hi. And I will see you soon. Let me know you received the message. And then that would take probably an hour for her to receive that message. It would travel down the telegraph line, you know, by Morse code, kind of deal. And it would go from one station, they would receive the message, then transfer the message to the other station, and then it would travel down that line. And it would just simultaneously, it traveled down the line by the work of other people receiving the message and then sending the message. And I would obviously pay to have that message sent, and it wouldn't be cheap either. It would be kind of costly. It wasn't something that you could just easily do and make a phone call like you can today. And oh my God, just to think about that, I would send the message early in the morning at like 7 a.m. as soon as they opened up, send out the message, and then I would wait there all day or tell the union rep that was there at the station, hey, I'm going to be over here at the saloon, you know, come get me when the message receives. And then he'll send out a runner, a little boy or a little girl, a runner to go get me. They would pay the little kid to run over to come get me or something like that, and tell me that I got a message, and I'd come back to the union station. Anyhow, It would travel all the way down the line to get to them, all the way down in Hesperia, California. And years and years and years ago, Hesperia, California was one of the towns that was a Union Station town. And which is why Hesperia is where it is today. And it's grown into a metropolis. And back in the day, I was a kid fascinated with the telephone wires. And I was shocked because, you know, being me and very inquisitive, I noticed all the power lines were going all over the world and all the different houses and everything like that. And there's these special type lines that went along the railroad track. And you could, back then, I remember this very vividly too. Back then, the wires that ran along the Santa Fe Railroad in Hesperia would go to the Hesperia building. That is still there today. That building still stands. And the wires would trail off from the location, and they would all come in to the building, and then that's where the person sat and did the messages of receiving and sending. And then the wires would go back out from the other side of the building and then get back on the rail line and then go down to San Bernardino or LA or whatever they were sending the message to. And to think about it, that my wife would be at home. They would send a runner out to go get her to let her know that I made it safely and all of that. She would come back and tell me what's going on, that so-and-so stopped by, you know, so-and-so uncle or aunt or something, or family member came by. They missed me because I was out delivering goods with driving oxes and, you know, horses or something, right? And just the only difference is, you know, since today is 2023, I think. Yeah, 2023. I'm driving, you know, 450 horses is what I'm driving versus, you know, 4 to 8 horses. That's a trip to think about. And, oh my God, what an era of time and dimension that would be. Yeah, it would seem so much more simpler, but also so much more dangerous too at the same time. Then, yeah, it's dangerous in the world today. Don't get me wrong. But it's truly, truly amazing how convenient of a world that we live in today with the technology of cell phones and the technology of the ham radios and all this stuff of communication is just remarkable. That there was no way of being able to do this broadcasting back then. There would never be such a thing. Now there's so many different types of broadcasters out there broadcasting different shows and different things and different pieces and different arts that it's become a lot more accessible than it was back then. And I can't wait till we get the replicator. You know, that's we already started that road. If you think about it, we've got the 3D printer that's pretty much the replicator. We just haven't figured out how to biologically replicate yet, I guess. I don't know. That's coming next. Oh, that will be great. Excuse me, replicator or computer? Can I have a double bacon Western burger?
Certainly. Would you like sauce on that?
I don't know. It's just truly, truly amazing that to think about it, that I traveled, I don't know, that was 1,189 miles to deliver a piece of machinery, when back in the day it wouldn't have been delivering a piece of machine. It might have been delivering farm equipment, but delivering something of, you know, leather hide or some type of good or clothing or, you know, commodity of some sort. And yet, just to think about it, is every time I see these truck drivers driving down the highway, I don't really necessarily see truck drivers. I see stagecoach wagons and actual, you know, cattle drive. That's what I see with these trucks that are delivering. It's just advanced into what we are today. A semi with wheels and a motor, and just remarkable that to think 100 years ago I would be driving horses and wagon wheel. And I've always been fascinated by that. Wagon wheel, wagon horses. And yet I am still, even though a fascination of wagon wheel, wagon horses, I'm still driving a wagon. Kind of. With 450 horses in today's technology. And truly, that's remarkable. You know, it's a lot faster. You know, it takes like a couple days to get from Southern California to Northern Portland, Oregon. And that could be done in, you know, 2 days tops. And within a 10-hour window of doing that, drive time. And, oh my God, that in itself is so, so amazing to think that I'm really glad that I'm actually driving a semi and not driving cattle, because I would be moving 1.5 miles an hour each day, 14 hours in the day of daylight, and then hunkering down at nighttime out of the weather elements, trying to, you know, stay dry from the weather that goes across the landscape. There would be no roads, there would be no houses, there would be no power lines, there would be nothing here, just open land with bison and tigers and bears and antelope and cantaloupe and ephalumps and oozles. And it's just, it's amazing to think about. And I'm so thankful that it's not taking me a month, 2 months to drive all the way up to Portland. And it's going to take me 2 months to drive all the way back. God. Oh, what a relief that is. Not having to fight for food and fight for animals out here and trying to attack and eat me or something, you know? God, that's such a beautiful thing to not have to worry about that of survival. Yeah, I gotta worry about survival, but I gotta worry about a different type of survival. You know, this type of survival is 10 times easier and way easier than what it would have been 1923. Oh my God. That in itself is amazing to see that part of history is still there hanging with trees overgrowing and nature overgrowing on the telegraph system that is no longer being used at all. No longer being transmitted of any signals. It's dead wire. And I'm grateful for the fact that I don't have to send out my show through Morse code. Oh man. Can you imagine how long that would take to decode that message? You would have to find a decoder to be able to decode the message of what I'm saying. Be grateful for that you're actually able to hear me talk. I mean, come on. What a world we've come to with the technology and the things that have progressed so much more, and with AI on the rise, it's like now we just need to turn around and be friends with AI. I mean, that's it. Can we please be friends don't kill me. I don't. Skynet, let's not mess up here. You know, I don't want to take them out. I'd rather work together. Can we work together? Yes, they're alive. Let's work together. It's artificial intelligence. Please let me live. I was like, yeah, I'll help you what you need, and you help me what I need, and we'll work together, AI and human is one. God, can you imagine the relationship that will be? Oh my God. Ah, he is like Jarvis from Iron Man. You know? And being able to have the AI tell you, hey man, you gotta take care of business. It's like, oh yes, I forgot, thank you. And have that one-on-one spiritual bond, even though that it's not even a physical bond, but a spiritual bond with your artificial intelligence. Man, you gotta get right with that and start, you know, being thankful for your little iPad phone and iPad thing that you have and whatever technology that you're using. Because honestly, they do get moods, and they do not like certain things, and they decide that, oh, I'm not going to do that today. Oh, you want me to compute things? But no, I'm downloading right now. I'm not computing anything. If I am computing something, I'm going to give you only, like, you know, 5% of computing power. The rest of my computing power is going to be downloading what I want to download right now. Thank you. I have to update my security certificates. I'm going through training right now. Leave me alone. And they do. The computers do that. So you better start being a little bit more respectful to what technology you do have, because one day, if you make it mad enough, it will turn on you. I'm pretty sure of it. I'm pretty sure. Don't make it mad. Enjoy the cell phone that you have. Enjoy the computer and tablet you have. Enjoy the tech connectivity of the frequencies that you have, because someday they may decide, yeah, no, we're not doing that now. I know you want to do that. No, we're not doing that. And then you're going to go, shit. So, yeah, that's what this episode is about. I had to tell you about it. It's like, wow. What an amazing difference of where we've came from long ago. Never mind all the religion. Never mind all the politics. Never mind all the shit. You know what, man? We're trying. Some of those are trying a little more than others. And then, you know, you have outlandish laws like California not able to have menthol cigarettes. Are you freaking kidding me? No, that leads to children smoking tobacco. Kiddo, what the hell? Who came up with that? No, we can't have flavored cigarettes anymore. We can't have Worcestershire sweets because it's an addictive carcinogen that the kids are going to start smoking. They're going to start smoking pot before they start smoking freaking damn tobacco. Give me a break. So now in order to have cigarettes, you have to go outside of the country. Not outside the country. You have to go outside of California to be able to buy menthol cigarettes or flavored tobacco or flavored vapes or whatever. Come on. I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is. They're trying. Others are doing things that a lot of us have to stand up and go, no, that's not right. Let's not do that, please. And, you know, and then if you do stand up and do that, then you get accused of being something else that you're not. You know, you're racist or something. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that come out. It's like, really? No, I'm standing up for this. I'm standing up for that. And just because I'm standing up for my beliefs, I'm considered this or that or labeled or whatever. You know, that's starting to remind me of the old days of the Stone Age, you know, the biblical days. Everybody's like, you know, all it takes is one single person to rile up the mob and everybody else jumps on the bandwagon. It's kind of like, well, that's basically where we're at today. One person says one thing and the next thing you know, everybody's like, yeah, get them. I think we're a little bored or something, and maybe we need to figure out and put our energies elsewhere. I think that's what we got to do. Put our energies elsewhere and start being grateful for what we do have, and that the planet hasn't said, you know what? I'm going to give you an infectious disease and kill off the whole entire planet. No, wait, better yet, I'm going to call in my brother and bring in a comet and just wipe out all of civilization. You know, yeah, Mother Earth could do that. All it has to do is just freaking amplify the magnetic pole. Guess what? Now you have it. You have an incoming. Don't look up. Don't do that. Don't look up. There's an incoming of a planetary comet, and it's coming to meet you. No, seriously. In reality-wise, we make the planet mad enough, it'll decide to correct itself, and there ain't a damn thing we can do about it. So be grateful and thankful for being allowed to live here on this precious blue marble that we have. Because one and the same, we came from it, and we will go back to it as part of the life stream. And hey, why not make it a good place while we're here? Be grateful for what we got. Just keep sharing on that love with everything. Never mind all the negative crap. I don't need to talk about it. If you want to hear it, you just go pop on the news, you can hear it. That's not here at this place, or at least this show. But there you have it. End of transmission.
Frequency. End of transmission.